It's great to be with you this morning. Today's talk is titled Chanting Alone, Together. And we all, I think, understand what that feels like in our current era when we can't physically be side by side. But I think it's always been that way, really. I mean, if we're in a room together, we're chanting alone in the sense that we're hearing and feeling the vibrations of sound coming out of our body. And of course, in concert with our community. And it goes both ways, but it is different now. It really is. if you think about, there's a bit of kind of new terminology around this. Along with the crisis of the pandemic, the political crises, all the many crises that we're living with today, the economic disaster, there is also such a thing that is called a social recession. Have you heard that term? We're feeling the effects of the fraying of our connection, our social connections. And, you know, we're trying our best to keep together. I mean, after all, this is what we have right here. But there is something to that. Just this Friday, I went for the first time to one of our in-person practices at the Zen Center, Friday mornings at 10 a.m. And it was interesting to observe the quality in my own body as I drove into Seattle, which I rarely do these days, and parked at the bottom of the driveway and walked up to the Zen Center like I always used to, but it's been a long time. And there was a kind of tentativeness, a little bit out of practice, and just showing up physically. Something that I had done for so many years coming to the Zen Center. So that's a real thing. There is a fraying. And, you know, when I did end up sitting down with everyone outside in this beautiful weather and this great company, it felt so magnificent and so wonderful. So as Zen practitioners, There is, I think, right now, this push and pull of what is safe, what are we comfortable with, how can we address this social recession? And I think the answer is not so far different than any other question might come across our way, in the sense that we need to embody Kwan Se Mboso. We need to embody this vow that Kwan Se Mboso means, which is to listen to the cries of this world. So that is our first important task, is to listen. Or as the contemporary poet Ann Carson says, reality is a sound. You have to tune into it, not just keep yelling. So while both of these qualities are very true and are a mark of compassion, they are not enough in and of themselves. They are not the end goal. They signal the place where we begin. So beginning with listening, there are qualities of that we need to look at that I feel as I practice this practice of listening. Respect, honoring, the distinct voices that we hear around us, the different, the difficult, disparaging, complicated voices that we hear around us. Honoring, respecting each of them as distinct. The sound of the wind, the texture of the sound of your companion's words, along with the words and the heart behind the words. In this way, we draw closer to the world, and that social recession is healed, mitigated a little bit. Listening to this new world, marked not only by the all familiar patterns of suffering, but now this new situation has given the name social recession to something that is deeply embedded in our karma. How do we listen to each other as we recede from each other, burrowing into our Wi-Fi caves and subscribing to various online patches to solitude? We're listening to a fair amount of loneliness, I suspect. And the irony there is by our complete listening, we are simultaneously healing that loneliness that we feel ourselves. So beyond listening, how do we honor our differences, the painful and disturbing disconnects and dissonances, the thorny jungle of distinctions that so markedly separate us one from the other? We have in our Zen training a very clear prescription of what comes beyond listening. And that is to ask the question, how may I help you? And while its formulation, how may I help you, may sound like what someone might say in front of a McDonald's booth, asking, you know, what do you want? How may I help you? But if we can ask this in a completely vulnerable and free way, vulnerable enough and courageous enough to hear the answer and then respond accordingly. This is how we embody Kwansang Bosa and become liberated by Kwansang Bosa at the same time, at the very same time. One by one, each thing has it. One by one, each thing is complete. You could say that we are always chanting alone. Within the context of our provisional bodies, sound arises out of our delicately refined mechanics of our bodies. And yet, at the same time, we are plurality, in transit, subtly or dramatically shifting in name and form, time and space flowing through the endlessly spinning wheel of samsara, of cause and effect. Each word spoken, each cry or shout also depends on this delicately unknowable and vast cosmic sound, the chamber of which permeates everything. And therefore, we are inevitably together, also, always. Together, we've been in the Dharma room, and now it feels like I can call it comfortably the Dharma room. You know, we are in the Dharma room singing together, perfectly imperfectly. Always there are technical difficulties. And because we're unused to this format, still, I think most of us are somewhat unused to it. There are, you know, these technical difficulties seem extraordinary. Mute, unmute, you know, Maybe some of us are lip syncing our way through the chants. Maybe we're belting it out from our privacy of our apartments. We're listening to a recording that sometimes goes faint, zips ahead, crawls back to us, you know, a slog, and we're trying to chant along with it. The key is too high, too low, likes and dislikes. All these things collide and confuse. So to this condition, I'd like to read a poem and also a koan from our collection. This is from Payung, and he wrote this poem. I wrote about it briefly in the last intro to the newsletter, so it'll be familiar to most of you. Where others dwell, I do not dwell. Where others go, I do not go. This does not mean to refuse association with others. I only want to make black and white distinct. So what are the implications? What implications can we find in this poem? What are the challenges? I only wish to make black and white distinct. I'll throw out a question that occurs to me. Is harmony, in fact, our goal? It's a common enough assumption. Why can't we all get along and sing as one voice, one language, one unifying principle, one magical computer program that will enable us to all chant online, all unmuted, perfectly synchronized, and in harmony? Perhaps we might need to challenge that assumption about harmony. First, listen. Embody Kwanseen Bosa. Our Zen training trains us to meet others as we would meet the moment between life and death with undivided attention. Acknowledge, again, the distinctions and respect the differences. I only wish to make black and white distinct. In our pain and fear and despair, we may want to rush into resolution, the harmonizing resolution. And this can manifest as a kind of manifesto, a bandwagon to jump on, a jargon or a point of view to which we earnestly desire that we should all agree. Then we earnestly hope that we can live forever after in harmony. All will be well. I realize that I'm speaking in the presence of trained musicians, but there is something about the problem and resolution of dissonance coming to harmony. Dissonance and harmony. It's something that becomes a thing of beauty in its creation. I've always had a passion for Bulgarian music, and I don't know, you know, how many of you are familiar with it, but one of the characteristics of Bulgarian music is that a lot of the time people are singing in seconds. And then they come to the thirds or some traditional harmonic formulations, but there's a lot of seconds. And it's startling. It's dissonant. It's shaking. It shakes everything up. And I find it incredibly moving. Very rich music. Just speaking to my preferences, but I see in that music a quality that embraces both disharmony and harmony together. Dissonance, surprise, discomfort, resolution, sigh of relief, and then repeat again. Dissonance, surprise, discomfort, resolution, sigh of relief, repeat again. This is our quality of being. This is our music, not just harmony. One day, and this is, I'm speaking from another koan in our collection. One day, Jinjie Sunim asked his teacher, Zen Master Hyeongak, whose song do you sing? Whose lineage do you follow? So this is a question for us to live with, chanting to alone and together. Do we just follow our own song and ignore everything else? Do we follow our boss's song and ignore our own? So waking up to our original nature, this is our ultimate do-it-yourself phenomenon, and yet we require these three components to our song. One is Buddha, that we might think of as the choir director. Dharma, we might think of that as the song. And Sangha, that's all of us singing together, the choir. Throughout these practicing with these three elements, we take responsibility for our own voice. And how do we do that? It's the same program that we always talk about. By that spacious listening, tuning in to reality, and with then also the meticulous attention to our voice, our moment, our momentary, beautiful world. Thank you for bearing up with these few words.